I'm finally ready. Yes.
Okay.
Are we rolling?
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Welcome to Bush and Banner, hosted by Jennifer Mavis and me, Diana Carmella.
That's such good energy already. I'm feeling it.
I was doing jumping jacks right before I like signed in to boost my energy. So this is a good one. It's just you and me for this episode, which I'm a little excited about because we're going back to our roots.
That's right. You and me, baby, all the way.
We wanted to come on and do a final episode for season two. We had a bunch of questions from you guys, and we thought it'd be fun if Jen and I just kind of shot the shit and answered all of your hard-hitting questions. But before we get into that, Jen, for listeners who have never heard of Bush and Banner, this is their first episode that they're listening to. Who are we? Because I'm having an identity crisis.
I'm trying to remember, yeah, like who I am, you know? It's just my brain empties so quickly these days. But no, seriously, this is a podcast all about adventure, where we talk not only about the physical aspects of being in the outdoors, but the emotional, mental, and sometimes hilarious moments that ensue. Our first season, it was just one-on-one with you and I, just hitting on some hard-hitting topics. Second season, we interviewed guests that are way cooler than ourselves.
So much cooler.
We're not just, you know, focusing on thru hiking. We had some epic guests on season two.
Yes, we did. We had Danny Kika. We had sailors. We had Steph Jagger, who broke the world record for vertical feet skied in a year. She wrote a book about it. We have Elena Osborne, a filmmaker thru hiker. Tyler Mack Fox, I love saying his name, cyclists, Chad Torkelson, adventure photographer. Dude, those people are way cooler.
Yeah, you're like out of breath, like, you know, saying all of that.
We just want to, right off the bat, really thank the listeners out there, because we're international, you guys. It's because of you. We're pretty international.
What's that song? Is it like a Pitbull song talking about what? Like...
Oh, Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, yes. Is that us?
We're Mrs. Worldwides.
Yes, that's us. This is our second season, right? You know, we don't have episodes that come out every week, like, consistently, right? We can't commit. But we've only done, you know, we only have a few episodes out there. But what are our stats, Diana? We're really excited about these.
Just in two seasons, we've hit 1,123 cities around the world. We've hit 46 countries/territories. That's pretty incredible.
That doesn't make sense.
We're really grateful for all the listeners, because we love doing this. We love putting this out, and we hope to do more of them, but we're busy. But you know, if I could make 9-10 figures doing this, I mean, I would do
it. Yeah, I mean, I'd maybe give up my day job if I was making that amount, you know. But we really just, we wanted to do this episode to say thank you to our listeners. And that is why we went out to the public and had you listeners send us questions, and we will be answering some of them, as many as we can.
Yeah. Before we start, do you want to tell the listeners your special surprise?
Oh, yeah. So Bush and Banter will in the future be called Bush, Banter, and Baby, because I am currently expecting.
Is it mine?
You couldn't even say that with a straight face.
I can't.
Well, you're actually the mother. Yes.
I'm going to be a mom?
Yes, you are.
Oh, my God.
Isn't it your dream come true?
It's
having children?
No. Congratulations, Jen.
Thank you.
She's already showing. It looks like she just ate like a massive burrito.
I showed Diana my belly before we started this. It's big. She like almost fell out of her chair. And she was like, are you sure it's not twins? I'm like, oh, I've never heard that one before. Okay.
Let's get into this. In lieu of, is it going to be baby Diana?
Definitely not. I can only handle one Diana in my life at a time.
Oh, God. All right. Let's get into this. We want to answer some of your guys' questions. We got quite a few of them. We're going to roll through them. Before we roll the intro, I want to start with this question. It's from Dad Ain't Hip. And he asked the question, I'm from the flat Midwest, and I know how to do 15 miles a day. But if I go to a more rugged environment like the Rockies or the Sierras, do we have any advice on accurately planning distances where there's so much more vertical change? I wanted to answer this question because Jen and I have the secret to climbing, hiking up steep elevations. And we have the secret that we learned from a woman on the Tahoe Rim Trail. This secret for hiking, You will not be tired. If anything, when you get to the summit, you will have more energy. You will feel rejuvenated. Jen, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, but we're going to have to reveal the secret after the intro.
After the intro. Here we go. Let's get into this. Welcome to Bush and Banner. It's great to see all of you. Even though I can't see you, it's great to have you here.
We still have not gotten the hang of this.
We still haven't got the hang of this.
That's something we're going to have to work on for sure.
Wait, I always think of that bean commercial. Roll that beautiful bean footage. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The Bush's baked beans.
Oh, yes, with the dog.
Yes, roll that beautiful bean footage. Okay, welcome back.
Why was that so intense?
I don't know. All right.
I feel like I saw like a vein pop out of your forehead when you said that.
All right, let's get into this. Dad ain't hip. He asked about vertical change, how to tackle high elevation. And, you know, we have the secret and we haven't given the secret out until now. It's almost like a thank you for being such great listeners. So this is not our secret. A woman on the Tahoe Rim Trail, an older woman, you know, enlightened us with this secret. The secret to big miles, huge miles. I mean, what do you think, Jen? You could probably hike, what, 50 miles a day? 50 miles a day easily?
Easy, yeah.
Uphill? Yeah. All right. We want to give you the secret right now. Listen up. Jen, what is the secret?
You just have to ride a horse or a donkey or a llama.
Just ride a horse.
It'll do all the work for you. Your butt might be a little bit sore, but I think, would you rather have a sore butt or sore feet?
Exactly. This woman on the Tahoe Rim Trail, she had two horses. She was riding one, and then she had one behind her who was following her, and she moved so fast. So I said, Jen, we're doing it wrong. We've got to get an animal.
Yeah, and like, I don't even know if she ever broke a sweat. You and I were dying.
We were dying.
He was living large.
We need to get into the horse game.
Yeah. So dad ain't hip. You need to get like a pack mule. But for those that can't afford a horse like myself, because horses are expensive and granted, I mean, I feel like riding horses is really hard. You know, we're not taking that aspect away.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other advice that you can give people that is cheaper?
Cheaper, but it takes a little bit more effort. I think if you're planning, if you want to know how to accurately plan, go for a walk with your pack and all the weight and record how many miles you can hike in 1 hour. And let's say you did 3 miles at 0 feet elevation in 1 hour. Add 30 minutes for every 1,000 feet of elevation gain that you plan to do. So in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it might take you an hour and a half to do 3 miles for every 1,000 feet of elevation gain. But something else that you have to think about is, yeah, if you're starting, if like you live somewhere that's like 500, you're at 500 feet elevation and you're being dropped somewhere where you're starting at 8,000 feet elevation and you're going to start hiking, you need to add like another hour or so to your 3 miles because your lungs are just not going to be used to that kind of elevation.
Or you can get a mule.
Yes, or you can get a mule. All right, Diana, do you have a dream adventure? Where is it and what would it be?
I have a dream adventure. It is incredibly specific and there's a reason for it. I have thought about this a lot. So it's actually three places. It involves three different modes of transportation and there's a reason why I want to go to these three places. The first place, I want to have an adventure in Sardinia. So it's off the coast of Italy. I'm Sicilian. I want to go to Italy. I want to rent a motorcycle and I want to drive around Sardinia. Second place is I want to take a fisherman's boat in Norway. So I want to somehow get on a boat for like 2 weeks and like go through the fjords of Norway. And then the third adventure is I want to see the Himalayas, but I want to see the Himalayas from the air. So in an airplane, like a prop plane or a helicopter. So Sardinia, Norway, and the Himalayas, and I want to go to all these three places. And the reason is I want to write a second book. And the theme is I get dropped into these destinations and I can't plan anything. So I have my goals and I just have to figure it out. Like I get dropped in Norway and I've got to just go and meet a fisherman and try to get on his boat. And I want to write a book about the experience. And I want to call it The Drop. What about you, Jen? A dream adventure.
The drop just reminds me of something about like drugs.
Like poop?
Like drugs. Like someone trying to sell drugs. Like meet me at the drop.
Maybe there'll be drugs in my story.
Oh, maybe.
Like an eat, pray, love thing where, you know, I have my mission. I got to get a bike and I have a motorcycle and I got to, you know, drive around Sardinia. But I can't. The only thing I can book is airfare to get to the destination.
And let me guess, this is going to turn into a movie and you're going to have Olivia Wilde play you.
Yes. You know me.
I do know you.
All right. What about you?
Mine's just I want to go to Scotland and Ireland.
Oh, with the Scottish people?
Yes. I mean, more just like travel around, maybe do some, you know, camping, some maybe hotel stays. But it's just more of immersing myself in the culture.
That's nice.
Not because I'm mainly Scottish and Irish. And ironically, so is Owen. So.
Oh, I love that. Shadow of Ken wants to know the sketchiest thing that has happened on trail, animal or person, encounter, weather, or out of food or TP, because TP would be the worst thing.
I love it. I'm sorry. That made me laugh, Shadow of Ken, because it's like the sketchiest, scariest things. We're probably talking about like life or death situations. And Shadow of Ken, you put, did you run out of TP? And yes, I have. But that wouldn't come to mind if someone asked me like the sketchiest thing that happened on trail. You know how many times I had to use a Clif Bar wrapper to wipe my butt?
You know what?
Can we just talk? I mean, it happens. You run out.
You know what I started doing? I started using a sock because
I'm not okay with this.
I had this thing where, you know, if I had to go to the bathroom, towards the end of the PNT, I got so thin that I had to wrap bungee cords around my waist to keep my pants up. And when I had to go to the bathroom, when I would stop, I had 10 seconds or I would lose control of my muscles. So I had to unclip these bungee cords and sometimes I couldn't reach around to get, I could, it was like a mess.
Wish like we could go back and look at your gear list and have all these bungee cords and it's like your attire. It's like not for like emergencies. It's like part of your clothing.
This is ridiculous.
But you know, like sometimes like I had to uncook the bungee cords and I couldn't do it in time. And so the one time I just pissed myself.
You peed your pants. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But something I had to like pull my pants down and then like the tissue would be in the corner. I couldn't reach around. So I always had like a sock, like a dirty sock that like, this is disgusting, but I don't know. This could be useful. That was always like over the edge of my pack. And then I would just use a sock and then I would just put it back on my pack and it would always air dry. And like,
okay, so are you talking about wiping like urine?
I'm talking about urine. I'm okay, not talking about poop.
Well, yeah. I was just talking about poop and you segued into how you use socks. So now I'm thinking you have poopy, dirty socks hanging outside your pack while you have bungee cords wrapped. I would, if I saw you in the woods, I would turn around and run the other way. I would press my SOS. I'd be terrified. Okay, I'm saying I use Clif Bar wrappers to wipe my butt.
You would,
like you're like depicting like the scariest image I've
ever. You would turn and run the other way.
Like I would. You're tall.
And I'm a big girl. Yeah,
you're tall, and then you have poop infested socks all over your backpack and bungee cords as your attire. And you're peeing yourself, and I would run.
All right, can we get back to the question? Sketchiest thing that ever happened on trail is seeing Diana turn the corner.
Is seeing Diana out in
you
the woods.
Smell her before you see her.
God!
The sketchiest thing that ever happened to me on trail. Told you this earlier. I cannot tell this story, and I have never told this story because I was saving it for my book. So
you told me the story. Does that
I told you this story. Okay. And it's the chapter called The Hitch. And from the name of the chapter, you could tell what it was. It was a hitch ride. And it was the only time I think, I want to say in my life in traveling where death could be an option. Like it was an option. And so I had to deal with that. And so that was the sketchiest thing. I don't want to tell it on this podcast, though, because it's one of the greatest chapters in my book. So I don't want to say it. But was there anything that you wanted to mention on that?
I mean, I've talked about my mountain lion encounter. I talked about it on the fear episode in season one. So that's there if you want to listen to it. And then I had that like sketchy potential kidnapping in Trout Lake, whatever that was. I don't know what that was. But yeah, it always tends to be people.
People, yeah.
People in towns are that's where a lot of the scary things happen.
Yeah.
@BritKiddo asks, anxiety ruins my hikes. How do you not feel lonely, scared, or homesick when hiking solo?
You just do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over until you don't feel that anymore.
That can work. Yeah. I would say, you know, try to like build up to it. If you're just scared about like, I think it depends what your anxiety is. You know, a lot of people are anxious while hiking solo for different reasons, but maybe just try to build up to being comfortable being alone while hiking. So even if it's starting to take a walk around your neighborhood by yourself for like 10 minutes or going to a local trail that's really popular. So if you're scared about like people not being around for an emergency, you know, just start there, you know, learn what makes you feel, I guess, comfortable. Is it music, podcasts, meditation? Is it prayer? Just anything. What makes you feel at peace, and learn how to incorporate that into your hikes.
You know, that's really important, because I remember one thing that really helped me is I created a very comfortable situation for myself. So in my tent, I set everything up so it was incredibly comfortable for me, even though I, you know, with Banky and I carried way too much weight, but it was comfortable for me. And like you said, with music, I always listen to music at night. I'll always drink something if I'm really scared, which is not the best, but I create a comfortable environment for myself. What makes me comfortable? I don't listen to anybody else or what pack I should bring or what this or what that. What is going to work for me? And I do that. And I just create a comfortable environment. It's about control. It's about, you know, you could create your world, and it's just about understanding that, like, you know, if you want to be comfortable in the outdoors, create a system, a sleep system, a hike regimen that works for you. Don't listen to anybody else. Like, what is it then? Because everybody's different. So yeah,
I think that's a great point. And like, if you're scared of animals, you need to educate yourself on how to handle animal encounters. Or, you know, if weather is something that scares you, make sure you are completely prepared for, you know, hot weather, cold weather, anything like that. So yeah, I think it's just a mixture of like what we're just saying, like keep exposing yourself to doing it and do it and do it and do it until you start to feel more comfortable, and just make sure that you are prepared and you have really good, we'll say, coping mechanisms, like alcohol for Diana.
But I think to get excited about, you know, growing as a human.
Yes.
Like, I get excited when something scares me. I get excited about it because I'll always grow from it. And then I don't get fearful of things. Kind of like what Dan was saying in the sailing Uma, he was saying like with the big waves, like how he deals with big waves when they're sailing in the middle of the ocean. And it's like, he's worked up to it. You know, he's seen huge waves. So medium-sized waves are not scary to him anymore because he's seen the big ones. So yeah, it is just about pushing yourself and having fun pushing yourself. And it's cool to be scared.
Yeah. And like at the end of the day, like a lot of people go out hiking and everything just because like we, you know, we all enjoy the outdoors. And so it's not supposed to be a miserable, like torturous thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you do seek solace in the outdoors and want to do some things on your own, just start small, build up to it. You don't need to go on like a 2-week backpacking trip all by yourself immediately. Build up, and maybe one day you'll be able to be out there for who knows how long, and not even, you'll just realize like, oh, I haven't even been scared or anxious for this amount of time. And it'll just hit you like, oh, okay, I got the hang of this.
And then you're really living.
Oh yeah. And then you're in it, and then you're addicted, and then you start a podcast like this, and you just can't get enough.
And then you can't sleep because all you're thinking about is who you want to interview. All right, let's do the next one. Hiker Dawn. Hey, Hiker Dawn. What food do you miss the most while through hiking? Jen.
Well, I think I tried to, on the Pacific Crest Trail, I tried to eat a burger every time that I could. Like just a big, you know, Diana's a, what do you call yourself?
Pescatarian?
Pescatarian. Yeah, Diana's pescatarian. So she just stares at me when I say this, but I just wanted a big, juicy, meaty, cheesy, greasy burger. But I also think pizza. For me, I think it was just anything like hot and greasy and cheesy because I didn't have a stove. So anything hot, I would be like hot coffee, this, after I had my really cold, refreshing drinks. You know, it was just like, I needed my Gatorade. I would fantasize about Gatorade and Diet Coke. And then like just horrible diet, but that's just what I would crave. Okay, Diana, what's yours?
I don't know. It's always a chocolate chip cookie, like a Pizookie, like from BJ's, like a chocolate chip cookie with ice cream. I just was always like ice cream. Like I'd kill for ice cream. Ice cream and a Diet Coke, like together and just slurp it down.
Yeah, and you say like you'd kill for it, but like I'm not kidding. I literally had those thoughts. Like I would literally kill. Like if if an animal came across and had like a Diet Coke strapped to its back, I would literally jump on it and kill it to get the Diet Coke.
Wrestle it to the ground. Give me that.
I would. Yes.
She would. BMF0911. How do you manage work and longer backpacking trips? We talked about this, Jen.
Yes.
You quit.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I took a 6-month sabbatical.
No, I'm just telling her what to do. You quit your job.
Oh, I thought you said I did personally.
No. I'm saying you quit and then you go on your hike.
You could quit. Yes. Or, you know, I think it depends obviously what kind of job you have, how long you've been at your job, you know, the relationship you have with your boss. I mean, there's so many factors, but, you might not be able to take, you know, 3, 4, 5 month long backpacking trips. So just like a normal vacation, save up your leave and go take a 4-day backpacking trip or 2-week backpacking trip. But if you do want to do a longer trip, like the Pacific Northwest Trail, Colorado Trail, PCT, you know, any of those, I would just ask your boss. I would just go to them and be like, hey, I like my job here. I don't want to quit, but this is something huge that I really want to do. Will you please allow me to take a 5-month sabbatical and have my job waiting for me when I come back?
That's a really good idea.
The worst thing they can say is no. Yeah. And at that point, you have to make a decision. Okay, no, I don't go on this trip, or I postpone it for a few years. Or you do what Diana says, you put in your notice and you go do this awesome adventure, you know. But I did that with my company. And at the time, they realized that they did want me to come back to work. And so they allowed me to go take a 6-month sabbatical.
I think when people go on a hike, though, they come back and they realize, like, I don't want to go back to that job.
Yeah, it was hard. But it's also – finances are a big, big thing. You know, I did a whole video on – I broke down all my finances that I spent on the Pacific Crest Trail, and I made a YouTube video about it, and I was trying to be as transparent as possible. I got ripped apart a lot from other people, just being like, how could you spend so much money on that? But I'm really big on, like, helping people be, like, financially ready. And I think – a lot of people on the trail were really stressed about how they were going to live after because they didn't have a job to go back to. So at least for me, it was really comforting to know that, you know, at this day, I had to report back to work and I would have a job and therefore a paycheck coming in. Like, that was really important for me. It's just my personality. But there's some people like you, Diana, that you don't have like a, we'll say 9-to-5. You're like a contractor, basically. Is that what you would call yourself? Freelance?
like a carpenter. Like, I build fences and like arcs.
Your income, though, is inconsistent.
It is, yeah.
That would be really hard for me. Like, I'm not someone that can – that's really stressful for me. So that's why, the sabbatical thing really worked for me. But for you
– yeah, for me, I have to save. So I know how much a hike will be. I know kind of how much I'll have money, you know, when I return, how much money I'll have. And I really am – I'm a terrible person when it comes to advice on finances because I'm very much like, I'll just book it and figure it out. Like, my father. I thank my father for that.
I mean,
but it always works out. It always works out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
I might have to, you know, do some extra stripping jobs on the weekends, but it always works out. You
sell
know?
Those dirty socks, you know. You know. All right, Diana. Are there any dream guests for that you have in mind for future seasons?
I have. I mean, we've kind of talked about people that we want to have on the show. There's quite a few. I'm not going to say any specific names, but I want some weirdos. Like, I want people who really are very professionals and very specific in a particular adventure, because those people are usually like the people that are all in. Like, an example would be Dan and Kika from Sailing Uma. They're right. All in on sailing. Their heart is in sailing. And I love people like that. So I hope to get some really extreme, just lovers of very specific outdoor activities, maybe some weirdos with some funny stories. We have a few people in mind, but I don't want to say anybody's name in case they say Bush and Banner. No way.
No way. You only 46 countries. Oh, what?
Yes. At least 50 for me to consider. What about you?
Well, I was going to say the same thing. I'm not saying any names. I know you and I have like bounced some people back and forth, but we wanted to tell our listeners, if it's you or you know someone who you think would be fantastic to listen to on our podcast, tag us on Instagram, write us a message, email us.
Yeah, please.
What's our email?
Our email is bushandbanter, that the and is spelled out, obviously, bushandbanter@gmail.com.
So yeah, email us, write us on Instagram, let us know if there's anybody, even if it's yourself, that has a really like particular niche you're passionate about and you want to be on this podcast.
We like stories, so we want some good freaking stories.
Yes, we do.
So, okay. How do you say that name? Melissa Hart?
It sounds like you know, Melissa Hart.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's probably what it is.
All right. All right. Melissa, spelled M-A-L-Y-S-S-A, Melissa Hart. She wants to know, do you find it hard to go on adventures by yourself? The answer is no. I love it. I relish in it. I choose it. I would go on one with Jen, but after a day or two, she gets really annoying. So the answer is no, I do not. It is incredibly easy. It is what I live for, is doing things alone, because it is way less stressful than planning with other people.
Yeah, this is true. You and I are very similar in this way. It's not like I'm, you know, the opposite. And, you know, so I'm just like, obviously before kids and everything, I would just always do things by myself. It was just, even if I had friends who like would maybe want to go, I wouldn't sometimes even think about asking them because I just wanted to go by myself. Even like going to the movies or going out to eat, or I'm just very like, I want this right now, so I'm going to get it right now. Yeah. That's kind of like my,
that's how she is with like,
when mama wants it, mama gets it kind of thing.
But it's very like calming and relaxing just doing things by yourself, because as soon as you get somebody involved, or two people or three people, it's like, okay, what time do you want to meet? Oh, I'm gonna be late. Oh, wait for me. Oh, what should I bring? Oh, what are you wearing? Oh, and like, oh my god, these questions, I don't care about any of these questions, and it's bringing me a level of stress that I don't want to deal with. So no, go on adventures by yourself, please.
Yeah And I think like for me, it's just, you just get to do what you want when you want on your own terms. And I think that's just like awesome. However, I've had some really great trips with other people. I went to Iceland with a friend. We didn't actually really know each other very well. We were more like mutual friends, but we just both wanted to go to Iceland. And it was one of those weird things that just happened. And I was really nervous because it wasn't like a good friend of mine. And we had no idea. And I think she was probably nervous too. And we literally had the most amazing time. It was like a once in a lifetime thing where we had no hiccups whatsoever, but I knew in the moment how rare it was that we were just so on the same page. And I think even like you and I probably both having reservations when we went to go hike the Tahoe Rim Trail together, it was a shorter hike, you know, so it wasn't like, oh, this is 6 months with someone who I might like want to kill at some points. But I mean, I think like you and I have different hiking styles, but I think like overall we did pretty good with
What do you mean different hiking styles? Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. You're saying it's because I want to stop at 3 o'clock when I see a lake.
Yes.
When I see a lake at 3 o'clock, I'm like, I'm done for the day.
It's party time.
It's party time. I want to go in the lake. I want to relax. And you're like, we're hiking until 9 p.m.
No, it wasn't that extreme. But it was more of like, well, we only have 2 weeks out here and we will literally not finish the trail if we do this low amount of miles every day. So we had to compromise.
We did.
But it was good. It wasn't like a bad tension thing. It was just like, you know, we're going to run out of food in like 2.5 days. Like we got to get to our stop, you know, more of like.
I love what you said where I was like, it was like 3 o'clock. It was a beautiful lake and I'm starting to find a campsite. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I don't even remember like where it was, but like I kind of was like a little bit behind you and I come around the corner and you're scanning campsites. I was like, no, it was like 2:30 PM. I'm like, I do like most of my hiking, I think after lunch and before dinner normally. And I was just like, I'm just getting started.
I'm just like, I can't wait to jump in that lake. And you know what? Spoiler, I never got to jump in it.
Oh, we got to jump in some lakes, but there's so many lakes on the Tahoe Rim Trail.
I know.
But anyway, so there are benefits to like going with some people. It has to be like, you need to choose like the right people, I think, to go on adventures.
Pick your battles. It's great to go with people sometimes, and then other times it's great to
do your own thing.
Balance, ladies and gentlemen. The name of the game is balance. All right.
All right, let's see. All right, I'll do, All right. At Nicole Buckelow. Oh, this isn't a question. This was a nice comment, but I'll say it anyway. She says, I am attempting the PCT in 1 month, and the first season helped me so much. I loved the capability episode.
That was our best one.
That was, yeah, I think that's been our favorite episode so far. Like so the far, most yeah. fan favorite.
That was really nice. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Yes. And Nicole, I just want to let you know, you are capable to hike the PCT.
Is she? Like, is she? I don't know.
I don't know. Nicole, are you? Like,
are you? I mean, we're rooting for you.
Are we sending you off to do something just off that one episode? That would be, yeah. Do we need to get insurance for this podcast? I don't know.
Maybe. Nicole, good luck to you on the PCT. Any questions, just direct those right towards Jen. She'll answer.
I will. I try to answer everybody on my IG.
You never answer any of my questions.
All right. Your question is, why is Diana so freaking cool? And I crossed it out because I'm not answering that.
Why am I so freaking cool? Okay, let's do it. Jen, what was one of the most memorable topics of discussion from season two?
I think for me, it was the third episode, which was with Steph Jagger. She's an author and has some amazing books out there, but she broke the world record for skiing 4 million vertical feet in 1 year. We actually didn't talk that much about the physical aspect. There was so much about the emotional and mental, and she's so intellectual. Her episode was, I think, the most interesting for me because it made me think about things I've never really thought about before.
Mm.
My husband, actually, that was his favorite episode.
Really?
Yes, and because he's listened to all the episodes, and he came back, and he thought all of them are awesome, of course. And he sits down, and he's like, naturally. He's always like highlighting his favorite parts of every episode. But after we wrapped up, he said, Steph Jagger's was my favorite. And that was actually an episode I told him. I said, look, this is not your style. This is not your thing.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't want to listen to it or what, you don't have to listen to this all the way through.
She's saying that because it's a little woman heavy.
Yeah. It's about feminine energy. And like Owen was like blown away from it. We sat down. We actually had a really great conversation after he listened to her podcast episode. And yeah, that was his favorite. And it happened to be one of mine too. Her way of thinking about things is not something that I'm used to. It's not in my group of friends and my circle. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
She's very articulate and she could put into words how you feel, if that makes sense. I think.
Yeah. What about for you?
There were a lot, but I think it was from the Sailing Uma episode, Dan kind of talked about and we just talked about this earlier, but he talked about how he, you know, gets over fear. And we asked him about the big waves and stuff. And I just remember him saying, work up to something you want to do every day, just kind of work towards it. And then, you know, you're going to look back and realize you did some scary stuff, but it wasn't scary during the time because you were just kind of building up. So he was saying like the big waves he's not afraid of because he's tackled so many medium-sized waves that, okay, a little bit bigger, but, you know, I've gone through something like this already. The biggest lesson is I walked away with was just get out there and do it and mess up. He talked about how much he messed up, but we look at him as being a force in the sailing world and how educated he is. But really, it comes from a lot of just figuring it out. So don't be afraid to figure it out and don't be afraid to mess up because that's all part of it. And yeah, it just makes you smarter.
I think this is like huge for me to say, but Dan and Kika are people I would trust taking me out into the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. Oh my God. Of course.
Like I wouldn't say that about a lot of people, but I trust them. They like know what they're doing, but they're like humble about it. It's not in an arrogant way. It's just like they've worked for it and they know their boundaries, which I think is important.
All right. Let's do a David Shirley one. Wants to know, ever thought of making this podcast into a YouTube channel? Okay.
We've talked about this.
We're going to describe to you what we look like right now. And you tell us if you want us to make this into a YouTube channel. Jen is I would consider it not a rat's nest, but maybe like a raccoon's nest on top of her head.
Yes.
Yeah, on the top of her head. She had her Invisalign in and she was drooling a couple minutes ago, but she doesn't have that anymore. And she has a cute little sweater on. I would call this like a rustic homeless Cinderella look.
Oh, I'll take it. I think the people would want to see this. Maybe. You know, but the thing is, I'm looking pretty pale because I vomit still from pregnancy. And I just came off a 7-day bout of double pink eye. So yes. that's where I'm at in my life. And Diana over here is wearing a Stay Wild beanie. She actually looks better than she has in, I don't know, like 4 years. But she's just coming off a bout of what, like 2 days of horrible food poisoning? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Her face looks a little puffy. She looks a little dehydrated.
You want to see this? Because we'll give it to you. If you want it.
We'll give it to you hard. We'll give it to you good.
We'll give it to you nice and rough. If you want this, if you want to see this every week, we're your hoes.
Yeah.
So. To kind of answer seriously, we would love to film this, but it just adds another level of stress, I think, that in the moment we're so busy, we don't want to be editing videos.
Yeah. And yeah, because this isn't stressful. Like we're doing this for fun. Like we've talked about, we love doing this, but that would just maybe be a little bit like, oh, a lot of like work that we can't give to this right now. Yeah.
But again, if we were pulling in 10 figures, I'll shoot this. I'll do a dance. I'll do whatever you want. So
money calls, baby.
Money calls, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So our last question is about the Tahoe Rim Trail. Do you have any advice or tips?
I don't really have any advice or tips. The eastern side is drier. So I would say you got to make sure you have water on the eastern side. And on the western side is the lakes and you're in with the mountains and stuff. And people were saying that's like the most beautiful section. But I think, Jen, I think you would agree with me. We really loved the eastern side, the drier side.
Yeah, the eastern side. And as you get to a little bit more north, you're going to get the most epic views of Lake Tahoe from that whole trail right there. And I've done Desolation Wilderness before just because it connects with a PCT, like part of the Tahoe Rim Trail and the PCT are the same trail for a bit. So, I mean, but it's so stunning. It's just all amazing. I think the whole thing is like every corner you turn is great. So, however, for this year, the amount of snow that the mountains are getting is just insane. You know, my family's all in Reno, Tahoe area, and I have friends that live in the mountains of Northern California, and they're just getting slammed. It's going to be a crazy year for PCTers, and same with Lake Tahoe Rim Trail. So I think for this year specifically, you need capital NEED. You need to be educated on snow safety. There's going to be so much snow out there, so you're going to need most likely to have crampons or, you know, micro spikes and an ice axe, and you're going to need to know how to self-arrest. And there's going to be other layers to it this year that were different for you and I, Diana, because the snow is probably still going to be around. You know, we caught some patches, like little
ones,
like
yeah.
you would see some just like barely melting off the side. And this is in the middle of August on a, like a lower snow year that we did it. This year set record after record. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of snow. And I think that's the big thing. So that was a fun trail. So Tahoe Rim Trail is a fantastic one. We talked about work earlier. Like if you can't take, you know, 6 months off of work to go do a trail, the Tahoe Rim Trail is 171 miles. We did it in a pretty, not leisurely, like we were still doing good miles, but 2 weeks.
We moved.
I mean, you can do it faster. You can do it slower, but 2 weeks I think is a great time. If you have 2 weeks, go and do a trail like that, you know, but just, you know, make sure you're up to date on like the snow levels and the snowpack and all of that, because
you'll solve all your problems. Just get a mule like we were talking about earlier. Hey, Jen, let's post that reel I made of you and the horses to our Instagram account. If you want to see Sonia and the horses, we're going to post that. Go to our Instagram account at Bush and Banter.
I still have a video of like one of them pooping. It was kind of an accident. And I felt really like I shouldn't be violating the horse like this. But
their poops are huge.
I mean, it was just this butthole that came out. It like inverted itself outside of its body.
It did. And you
prolapse.
You can't look away. You're just like, like every time it pooped, like I would just stare.
Like how good did that feel to get out of your body? That was so massive.
We got to wrap this up. You know, this was a lot of fun. This whole season was a lot of fun. We want to thank all our guests. We want to thank all the people that are listening.
Yeah, it would be really awesome if you guys could leave a review and share your favorite episode with one of your friends.
Please follow us on social media. We're trying to get to 1 billion followers and we're so freaking close.
We're so close.
We're so close, you guys. We're so close. Go follow us at Bush and Banter. We love hearing from you guys. So message us, share.
This has been a fantastic season 2 and I'm already itching to see what we're going to have for season 3.
We've got some surprises. And I say that because we don't even know yet.
We don't even know. But we know there will be surprises.
Me and Jen want to say a special thank you to Sawyer Products. Go follow Sawyer Products on social media. They make water filtration systems and permethrin fabric treatments to ward off pests like mosquitoes, ticks, and fleas. I got really good at saying that.
That's good. I know. Thank you to everyone who's listened to all of our episodes. We do have some exciting updates that we will announce in a few weeks. Some new things coming to Bush and Banter. So we're growing, yes. Baby. We're growing. We're worldwide.
We're Mrs. Worldwide.
Mrs. Worldwide.
We got to figure out the rest of that song.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we can get Pitbull on here.
Does Pitbull hike? Is that even Pitbull that sings that?
I don't know, but I feel like this is an adventure talk podcast. And he's worldwide. Like, we're talking about traveling.
Yeah.
Like, he can come on.
He's been on a lot of jets. We should do a whole episode on jets.
On jets, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And being bald.
All right, you guys. We'll see you guys next season.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.